All right.
Hey, there we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boys at the 1973 podcast, and we can't, we won't, and we won't stop. So, fellas, back again, got the professor with us, missing Shaggy, but we're gonna go right into it, and we're gonna talk about one watch. Everybody knows the rules. Brad's pick. Brad, Ed, we'll start with you first. And then we'll get into it.
All right. Hey there, podcast fans. You ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality. I mean, top-notch. And that timeless style that you create, lounging at home like a big lizard or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say. Don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. 1973 Podcast T-shirt store on YouTube. Just click the link below.
All right, so one watch. Everybody knows the rules. It was Brad's pick. Pick the hometown movie, so he says. Bradford, what was the pick this week?
I picked a movie just for you homers. It was filmed in your backyard. With your people doing y'all's thing, a movie about two Irish Catholic brothers who become vigilantes and they use religion and freaking visions and like a bunch of weird, religious motivated stuff. They become like Robin Hood of the slums and as clumsy as they are, they become heroes. The little people love them. The cops start to love them. Even the bad guys start to love them. They're like, man, these guys are just so likable, even though they're kicking our butts. It's the Boondock Saints. It's an incredible movie. First time I watched this on VHS, my buddies brought it over. I was like, bro, you got to watch this. Popped it in the VCR. I thought it was going to be Debbie Does Dallas or something wild. It was the Boondock Saints. This movie became my whole personality for like a whole summer. I was like, I've never seen something this incredible before. Like, I don't even know what to do with myself because as like a 16, 17-year-old kid, and I watched this movie for the first time, I was like, I don't know. This is probably the movie that launched me into being an amateur movie buff because I was like, I don't know what movies could be like at this time. And I'd already seen Star Wars and the prequel Star Wars and the original trilogy, and I was already the Star Wars head, and I saw something like this, and I didn't know movies could be done like this. Even though it gets like cheesy and violent and a lot of points and whatnot, man. But star-studded cast. It's got Sean Patrick Flannery is his name. Norman Reed is the guy from freaking The Walking Dead. If y'all know him from The Walking Dead, we can't even be friends. Because he did Boondock Saints first, and it had William Dafoe, probably one of his best movies ever. I love this movie, Boondock Saints, man. I don't even know what to say about it. I think it's an incredible movie, like from start to finish. I loved every second of it. It's not as good as Rogue One.
What'd
Yeah,
you
rate
give
it.
it, though?
I'm gonna give this film a solid 8.6.
Good score. Good score. Tom, we got to add Shaggy's score in. Shaggy scored it. What was it, Brad, that he scored it?
Disturbingly low, 7.5.
Okay. All
He
right.
has zero taste.
I can't add a lot of stuff to this that Brad didn't really already add. The Norman Reedus reference. This came out, we were talking before we started recording that this was one of those movies that kind of came out after Pulp Fiction, and there was a ton of movies that came out. There's certain times where genres of movies will pop up and they're popular, and there'll be a bunch of copycats out. And I'm not saying that this is a copycat, I'm just saying that those gritty noir stories, very driven on story, not so much who's in the movie, which I love it when it's like that, because the story is what it is immersive about movies I like. And so My score is going to be 8-1 for Boondock Saints. For me, it's not so much quotable, but it's a movie that I owned in my collection, so it's gotta hold a certain score if you owned it at one time. So it's worth a watch again if you go back and you've never seen it. It's definitely, or if you are a Norman Reedus fan, I guess a lot of ladies prefer the Norman Reedus, so it's a thing. Ed, Boondock Saints.
Well, I too saw this on I believe on DVD for the first time when I was I want to say when I first moved to right outside of Boston. I remember watching this on surround sound and everything like that. I believe that my buddy Justin brought this movie to my attention and watched it. Very Pulp Fiction-y kind of Reservoir Dog-ish kind of that genre. Things that I didn't know till I did a deep dive here. I pushed the yoke and went really deep on this, and it only made $30,000 in the five theaters that it was released in, and it's, I believe that it made $50 million. After it, and it became like that cult classic. Billy Connolly was in it. From Head of the Class, and then also I totally forgot that William Dafoe was in it until the opening scene. I was like, wow, I totally forgot that he was in there. Having a former territory in where a lot of that movie was shot, so kind of and knowing that there is kind of there was that kind of element in that section of Boston. In the 70s and 80s and early 90s. It was a good movie. I think I'm gonna, certainly a cult classic, not very quotable, except for, I missed the funny guy,
Super quotable.
Not for me. And look, it's my
What?
opinion. Hey man, it's like my opinion, though. All right. So I'm gonna give it a 7.9.
Know what? I'm gonna quote the bartender. Y'all need to make like a tree and get the out of here, okay?
Brad, how come you used the whole word? I mean, did human resources get to you?
Well, we got I you guys if I think if we say a lot of F-bombs, I think YouTube throttles our viewership. Like the
I might have to agree with young Bradford on that one too. So everybody gets one per episode. So use them wisely.
Like listening to other li
I'm about to get fired.
listening to other podcasts and like watching them on YouTube, like they don't drop the F-bomb at all. I was like, damn, I gotta clean that up. I'm holding this back.
We're gonna kick it to the guy that's got the Reservoir Dogs poster in back of him. We're gonna kick it to the guy that's got the movie collection next to him. Phantom, what do you got for Boondock Saints?
I mean, what's not to like about a vigilante flick? The thing that was great about it when Brad threw it out there, it honestly was like one of those movies that I know I've watched, and like riddle like could like remember nothing about it. Like when I rewatched it was like I never saw it before. I gotta say that Willem Dafoe makes the movie for me. He's like flamboyant. His character is awesome. I liked it a lot. I mean, I don't think I'm more a Pulp Fiction guy. Like if you want to compare those kind of movies, but I'll come in with 8.1. I thought it was really good. The thing that was funny is like I know that I liked it, but just so long since I saw it, it was like. I was almost doubting myself, like, have I never not seen this before? But I own
What's
it.
great about this segment is it's long overdue. We were talking about adding movies for the longest time. I think it's great because we get a chance to not so much up front, but eventually do deep dives into these movies and really, if we haven't seen them for a while, or maybe like me, like I said with Scrooge, it was one of those movies you see on come across your feed on cable all the time. It's like, so it gives you a chance to really kind of give the attention that it needs for for podcast purposes and movie buffs and just have at it. So speaking of movie buffs, we got the professor. Tom, you're gonna bring us back home, round table this, give us a score, your score, and your pick for next week.
All right, first, let me say, Darren, our number one fan, piped in this week. He gave it an 8. He said he loved the rapport that Sean Flannery there and Norman Reedus had together. Now buckle up, Brad, because if you thought Shaggy had bad taste, I'm not going. It's still passing, but to me, I think it's a total ripoff of like Andy, Pulp Fiction. I think the director was trying too hard to be Quentin Tarantino in this thing, and I liked it. But another thing, I thought, I love William Dafoe, but I thought he overacted the shit out of this thing. It almost to the fact that some parts to me were a parody. But I thought overall, I thought it was pretty good, to be honest with you. And going off of what you said about the Boston people, I never knew until I was kind of looking it up. The two of the detectives are Boston comedians. Jimmy Tingle and Bob Marley, who I actually saw in concert one day, and he is wicked funny. He's hilarious. I love that guy. But my score overall, I'm giving it a passing grade. I'm giving it a 7.2.
Great.
So,
You guys are breaking my heart, man.
anything over a 6.5 is a passing grade, you would say, Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what do we get for a total score so I can mark this down for editing purposes?
Give me a sec. Gotta do the
I
math.
mean, Thomas, I hope you can do better than I did last week when my hand helped a
Oh,
few.
Ed, don't talk
Don't
about
do that.
that.
Don't
You
do
did
that,
fine, buddy.
Ed.
You did fine.
Ed, don't beat yourself up like that.
Oh, it was
Head
terrible.
trauma is a thing. CTE is a thing. Don't feel bad about it.
It is. It is.
Don't,
It's a
you
real
know.
thing for sure.
Yep.
Just going to save the 3.9 for when we actually get a 3.9.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. 7.9.
Woo, 7
Oh, look
point
at that.
for the
Respectable
Boondocks.
score.
Very
Look at that.
respectable. I think everything that we've done so far, you guys got to agree that the scores have kind of been where they should have been.
Yes, very much so. I mean,
Well, except for y'all's takes on Rogue One. Still the best Star Wars movie ever made.
you're high.
Thomas, please save us.
All right. My pick for this week is a 1995 movie. I absolutely love the script. I'm going with the usual suspects.
Oh, Kaiser Soze.
One of my favorite movies.
Oh, right. See, now there's another movie. Came out right around the Pulp Fiction time in that gritty noir type thing. And
I think that movie in Pulp Fiction was actually at the movie theater at the same time.
I mean, there's so many movies that came out around that time. 2 Days in a Valley, so many. There's a whole string of them. So homework for next week, Usual Suspects. That's not a tough watch. Boondock Saints is one of those movies also that they should have cut off at one movie.
They're actually making a third one. It's going to be out 2026.
Oh
Oh. Yeah.
no. No.
So we're going to put a cap in one watch. Everybody knows the rules and move on to, there it is. Move on to, speaking of garbage, we're going to move on to talking wrestling this week. We're going to review the 2025 Royal Rumble, which was, in my opinion, absolutely horrible.
Wasn't that bad.
Oh, that's a clunker, Brad. That's a clunker.
It
There's
wasn't that bad.
oh. Now, when you say that they have a stacked roster, you saw last night they do not have a stacked roster. There's so many, they could get that roster down to about 50 guys. And then everybody else, let them go wherever they need to go. TNA, AEW, let them go because that is an awful roster. That bottom half,
They've
Thomas.
got a good roster. They just have lousy bookers.
They yeah, definitely on that, Tom.
Bradford, you want to weigh in on this Royal Rumble?
So I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I had really high expectations for what I, because we talked about it and I think we amped it up so much in our heads that when we got the final product, it didn't live up to our own expectations. So we had unmet and unfulfilled expectations, which is why it kind of sucked a little bit. But the women's Royal Rumble, first of all, was phenomenal. It was, I'm gonna say it, man, it was better than the men's Royal Rumble. And the reason why is because they brought in legends. They brought in Jordynne Grace from TNA, and where they lacked in, usable, bookable people from like the Raw and SmackDown roster, they peppered in and filled those gaps with NXT. I've been telling y'all for a year, you got to start watching NXT. The women's NXT wrestlers carried that women's Royal Rumble, and I will die on that. They had Julia, they had Stephanie Vaquer, they had Lash Legend, they had Roxanne Perez, they had Lyra Valkyria, who just recently jumped to Raw, so I still kind of consider her NXT. The women's Royal Rumble was incredible, and then you get to the men's Royal Rumble, and they waste spots on Otis and freaking what's his name? That German dude. I don't remember his name. He's banging Tiffy Stratton.
That's why you're
Ludwig.
jealous.
Ludwig.
You're only jealous because of that, Brad. That guy's a great
So
heel. That's a
they
great.
wasted spots on him. They wasted spots on, when they called Tozawa, I was like, there's no freaking way. Just for him to get knocked down to be replaced by Eyeshow Speed. Stupid. That part was dumb, Andy. I'll give you that. But the 8-year-olds, I had 4 8-year-olds in my living room for the Royal Rumble. Lucas and three of his friends. They went ape shit, bro. The kid Eli, who don't even watch wrestling, saw Eyeshow Speed. He was jumping up and down off the table and shit, bouncing off the walls. So Triple H did good in reaching different age audiences, man. Like, you got to appreciate that he's reaching out to younger, fresher audiences. And our us old heads, we getting left behind, man. We're getting left behind. But the men's Royal Rumble, they left a lot of meat on the bone. At one point in the ring, they had Cena, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk, and then they cued Seth Rollins' music. That should have been an epic encounter. Kind of fell flat. John Cena coming out. Other than the pop of his music and him running down to the ring, he threw out two or three people. Then he rolled around on the ring like a dead fish for 30 minutes until him and Jay squared up. They left a lot of meat on the bone, man, but I don't think it was bad. The best part of the night was when they said his name and he appeared. When Joe Hendry came out, that was epic, bro. It was epic. He threw out some the Miz. He hit Miz with a standing ovation. It was epic. I think they left a lot of meat on there with him. I would have liked to seen Joe Hendry go the distance and make it closer to the end. I would have liked to seen him square up with Sheamus. Geographically, they're both kind of from the same areas. I would have liked to have seen that. And Logan Paul, I used to be a fan. I thought he was a great heel. Him coming in at number 30, and bro, that was stupid. He should have been in early. They should have left somebody special for number 30. The Rock, for God's sakes, could have come out at number 30. Anybody except Logan Paul. I'm also a little pissed that Charlotte Flair took a year and a half and 2 years off for her injury, shows up, wins the Rumble, and now it's gonna main event WrestleMania. Like, that's stupid. There's so many other women that have earned that spot. And to give that to Charlotte Flair, I think, is a slap in the face to the women that have been working their butts off. So, didn't hate it, didn't love it.
Passing grade.
I don't think it was that bad. I'm gonna
Seven.
yeet it. It was good. It was good.
Jimmy Uso, not sold on him. Jey Uso, not sold on him. Not sold on the. I know it's the merch sales.
Number one merch.
That's the
Number
modern
one.
day Jimmy Valiant right there. That guy is. That's mid-card at best for me. Sorry. That's Intercontinental title picture. As hard as the Phantom is with Hall of Famers, I'm hard on your spot on the card.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's out kicking his coverage for sure. But he's over. The kids love him. Middle-aged men love him. The moms love him. The dude is a fanboy. The people that hate Jey Uso the most are the old heads that are the old school wrestling fans, man. But even, yeah, in NXT though, man, where was Ethan Page for the Royal Rumble? Ethan Page is a star. Where was Trick Williams? You want to meet somebody? You think Jey is over? If they would have queued up Trick Williams, whoop that Trick, bro, I would have had to pull Lucas off the ceiling. There's only one wrestler that's more over than Jey Uso right now, and it's Trick Willie. But like, where were they? That's what I don't get. There was not a single NXT guy in the Royal Rumble, but half the roster in the women's was from NXT. So where was everybody at? Give us Tozawa, Otis, Chad Gable, Ludwig. Give me a break, man. They could have done better. Could have done better. But Jey Uso, I'm gonna yeet you all night, baby.
Let's talk some dirt about this Royal Rumble, because the Cena thing at the press conference was different. He didn't field any questions. He kind of set the tone like, "Hey, I let myself down. I was trying to be not selfish and do the right thing, but now I'm going to do the right thing and beat this 16-time world title reign that Flair has, and this way someday I can shake the hand of the person that breaks mine." Pretty cool. I just don't know what they're going to do with the whole Cena storyline, and who's he fight? I mean, do you want to see Jimmy or Jay or one of the Usos, whoever the hell it is?
It's Jay.
Jay. Main event Jay Uso. Do you want to see a main event WrestleMania? You really do?
Put some respect on that name.
It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. That's not selling tickets for me. Just saying.
The thing that's funny is we've been Hulk Hogan's been taking a beating lately, and then Cena ends up losing the match to Jey Uso, and then when he's doing that thing, and he's almost like, I gotta do what's best for business, and what's best for business is me winning the belt. It
Yeah.
was like such a, like, I don't know, like, all right, well, yeah, I'm gonna put the belt on you, I guess. Like, I don't know, just kind of like that. That was like almost like a heel promo. Like,
Yeah, but you know what, man? Cena always puts the business first, man. He always puts other dudes over. He got in the ring and hugged Jey Uso. He put Jey over. I think he's saying that to kind of mend the wounds and bandage up all the butthurt fans because Cena didn't win, and he's gonna promise a finish at Elimination Chamber. He's not gonna win that.
That could be a pretty
There's
good
no way.
elimination chamber with if they have Cena, Reigns, Rollins.
He's not going to win it.
That's going to be that should be they could have potential of having a really good group of guys in it.
It'll be a good match, but he's not going to win. He's even admitted he don't have the cardio or the endurance to go the distance in a match. So he's going to just kind of flop around the ring again. And I think somebody else will win, and Cena's just going to keep leading us along. I think if he goes to break that 16 championship title record, it's going to be against Joe Hendry. It's got to be. He's going to go to TNA, beat Joe Hendry, put that whole company on his back, put them over. Excuse me, YouTube. He's not going to mess.
One.
That's my one, YouTube. Don't throttle us. He's not going to mess with the storylines we have going for WWE, man. Cena's not that guy. He's not going to do it.
One of the knocks on him too is that when they compare him to Ric Flair, they always say that Ric Flair won the world title in like multiple companies, and
Yep.
Cena is strictly a WWE guy. So if they want to throw a little curveball in there and try to throw one out from the outside, might be a little different too.
Would you guys accept it if he beat Joe Hendry? Would
Nope.
you count that?
Nope.
No, because it's TNA.
Minor leagues, brother.
You guys are some jabronis, man.
Oh, geez. That's just for Andy. Hey, it's like we
Just for you, Andy.
couple of weeks ago we were complaining about like this guy's a real heel. This guy's a real face. And you want the guy that's a super face to be the one that's chasing the belts, and that's Jey Uso with the way that they have the guys right now. It's I don't think anybody's more over than him. I
Trick
think
Willie and LA Knight
I
are
don't
the
think
only
he's
other
the,
two,
he might
buddy.
be the perfect guy to turn Cody Rhodes bad.
Oh.
Now you're talking. There's got to be something to the story. It's I think to me it'd be so easy just to have. I don't think they want to have Punk go against Cody because I don't think they want anybody to go head to head with him and outshine him because he's still their top guy. I don't think they want to do that. But if they're ever going to put the belt on Punk, you probably should do it because that guy is at any time he could have a flip out moment and that's it. We'll never see him again.
For
Everybody right now
sure.
is like, oh,
Yeah,
he
but
hasn't
do you
been in
want him
a good place and all this. So those people that are volatile, it don't take much. All it takes is one thing and
Do you want to put the
all
belt on him if he's that volatile, though?
Well, you're gonna do
Because
it now while you can.
yeah, you gotta do it while you can.
you're gonna make money while the stock's high.
Yeah, the clock, we're on the clock with this guy.
That's a good segue, though, about the volatile thing with talk about the Drew McIntyre situation that with people going into business. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, apparently he stormed out and didn't even watch the end of the match. He left the arena right away, and all he said was that people were going into business on their own in there. And he said that all the guy was whoever, he didn't name the person, but he said all they wanted to do was put over their finish him. All they wanted to do was get their moves in, their move sets in. So he wasn't too happy. He left the arena. So I haven't heard much, but I did hear that he wasn't the only one that was mad. So I don't know who it is, but I'm sure it'll come out. Somebody will leak it.
He kind of gets screwed though, because he's like a top guy, and to me, it always seems like him and Rollins a bit, but I think more so him. Like he's a good soldier, and they shit on him. Like the other three guys, they all got thrown out together, but they still had their storylines were still working on the outside with the three of them all fighting. It's probably they're gonna end up having a three-way dance or whatever come WrestleMania or whatever. They got plans for all of them. He got tossed. The cameraman wasn't on point, so whoever they had the camera on, all they did is show him get thrown out of the rope. So whatever story was with him getting tossed out, kind of, I think that the one thing that I wanted to get out that I thought they dropped the ball with was Jacob Fatu. I thought that was it.
Man.
Like if they were just gonna have Strowman throw him out, they should have had him be the first guy in, and when all those stiffs that you guys were talking about were coming in one at a time, he should have been pigeon tossing them like. That he was like the only person in the whole match until the big guys came in, and then you could have like the last 10 guys fight. But I don't like how they presented him at all. I thought that was shitty.
No, he was wrecking shop. And, when you had the first two come out and it was Rey and Penta. I was like, hell yeah. Like, let's go. This is an old school lucha match. They didn't do shit. All right.
How about when Penta got pigeon tossed and and both his feet touched the floor like 2 minutes in?
Yeah. And then they were like, nope. It was just 1 foot. I was like, oh, buddy. We had our first botch of the night.
Yeah, don't quit. We're almost done.
We're almost done, buddy. Yo, but there was a lot of missed opportunities, man. Like I said, they left a lot of meat on the bone, man. Even like Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu never really squared up that much. And I was waiting to see a huge clash with that. We did get Braun Breaker spearing Roman, which I thought was great. And Braun Breaker was in there wrecking shop. But we got a little bit of Braun and Jacob Fatu, which if y'all remember, several episodes ago, I said that was my dream booking. I want to see those two square up. But we didn't get a whole lot of it. They left a lot, man. Like they could have done so much more with that Royal Rumble with the guys they had in there.
I thought the thing that was whack too is with Logan Paul. I like him more than you guys do because I just think he's just such an attraction that he's like easy money for them to make.
Oh yeah,
But
for sure.
he had that spot where he jumped from the ring apron to the table.
Yep.
So in my mind, I'm like, all right, like is he just gonna stay on the table and like kind of cheat his way to get towards the end? And I'm like, well, he's probably not gonna be one of the last guys. So he ends up, he walks on the barricade, he ends up jumping to the steps and he goes back in. But then when he ended up making it all the way to the end, that was like shitty psychology. Like, why did they just not have him just stay sitting on the table the whole time? And then at least he would have an excuse for being one of the last guys left. So I didn't really care for that. And as far I think they worked everybody to let Cena be down to the end. But I don't think Cena was going to win.
Yo, he threw out CM Punk too, didn't he?
He
Logan
did.
Paul.
He did. He did.
I know you was mad.
So you don't, they kind of leave as much as they booked that, they kind of left it with a lot of what ifs. So I think that was the motivation. I would think if they booked it well, the motivation for the main event guys, like what if all the other guys are all undercard guys, so it doesn't really, you throw these guys on the cards at WrestleMania and it, it's just fodder underneath. But the main event storyline should always be, and not everybody needs a storyline. I've said that before. I mean, you can just have two guys squaring off that are not a dream match, but you haven't seen it in a while, or it's an old rivalry that gets kind of reignited or whatever, or rubber match because it 1-1-1, 1-1 another. So there's a lot of ways you can go with the bigger guys, but they got like a only like a top 10.
All I know is everybody needs a friend like Sami Zayn. I tell you what, you can shit on that guy all you want. That's the best friend going. He'll go back to Roman Reigns.
He always comes back. He's
He
like a
goes,
puppy dog.
he's like a puppy dog.
Yeah.
You know why? El Generico.
Well,
Generic fans.
the thing that I thought actually was kind of cool was like we were killing like the kayfabe thing. So they're all, they'll have the guys in the ring doing whatever, and then now they're in the back and they're showing these guys fucking hugging and kissing in the back, good match and all this.
Oh,
It
you didn't kiss him.
kind of
Ooh.
they use it to their favor though, because now everybody knows that he's really friends with I was gonna call him Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, but just having him out there puts a little slice of believability in it, like, oh shit, he's really his friend, and then he's like, oh, is he hurt? Is he like, he was like, it makes it seem like he's checking on him legit and that he's not a part of the show. So I think you kind of use that stuff both ways.
But he's the modern day Tito Santana in my book. He's like mid-card status, ultimate intercontinental champion, ultimate bridge intercontinental champion for me. If I'm booking him in my action figure federation.
He is actually a good wrestler, though.
Yeah,
Yes.
I
He
can't
does. He
deny
has a solid.
him.
He's got more than five moves.
And they all hurt.
I don't know if they all hurt, but.
So
Yeah,
we're gonna
but
get.
Cody Alabama slamming KO through the ladder was epic and
Yeah,
out
they're
of
both
character
supposed to
for
be hurt,
Cody.
I guess.
What's that?
That they're both banged up, I guess. They don't know they're getting. They're both gonna go get checked out, I guess, tomorrow.
Oh,
And
shit.
so I don't know how bad anything is, but they said everything is not on hold. But with Cody, they said that they're not sure if he's gonna miss any time or not.
Ed, you want to watch a nice old school match? Just go on YouTube and look up that ladder match. That fucking shit was solid.
It was good.
Did they put it at the end?
No, it was right in the middle of the card.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Surprise.
they put the Royal Rumble. To me, if you got a world title match, that match should always go last.
Yep.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's what it said on the cards in the programs, right? Main event was always a heavyweight title match. Ed, we're going to bring you in the fold right now with a segment that's probably a year overdue. It's that time of the year for Are They a Hall of Famer? And we got the first nominee for this year's Hall of Fame, and it is Triple H. So I'm going to go to Ed because he's been sitting on the sidelines watching some old VHS in an Elvis box. Is Triple H a Hall of Famer?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to just to tell you I've been watching this ridiculous foolishness that they call the Pro Bowl right now on the NFL Network, and it's ridiculous, a flag football game. So to segue into the Triple H thing, all right, here's the thing. He's already in the Hall of Fame with DX. Should he be in there on his own? Yes. The man is a 14-time world champion. He's had some epic matches with Undertaker. And the thing is, it's like when he was out with his quad and he came back, I mean, he had that pop. I mean, I remember going back and I remember watching him and DX and all that stuff. And the thing is that I still remember Shaggy, myself, and Kenny. We skipped class to go see them show up at Boston City Hall for. So yeah, he is. He's a good wrestler. And the thing is like he's good on the mic, and he made, and the thing about it is like he made some good decisions getting moving away from DX because of the lifestyle in DX was a bit crazy to say the least. So I think he is.
All right, Brad, you're on the clock.
Is
Triple H Hall of Famer, yes or no?
Triple H? Absolutely. Great wrestler. He's had great gimmicks. DX was legendary. Married the boss's daughter. Graduated to ownership. Pretty talented booking. And, one of my pet peeves with the WWE Hall of Fame is I like to induct dudes that are still on the active main roster. Like, a clear, like, delineating factor should be you're actually retired from wrestling before you go into the Hall of Fame. He's retired from wrestling. He has a heart condition. He'll never go back in the ring. He's done great for the business, 100%. They got this one right. It's Triple H.
Thomas, Hall of Fame
Oh,
or not?
absolutely, no brainer. I think he should have been in a long time ago, but I think the only reason they didn't is I mean, it seems funny saying this because there's no brick and mortar thing, but I think with the whole nepotism thing with him marrying Stephanie, I don't think they wanted to make it look, but he's a no brainer. He should have been in a long time ago.
So, I'm saving the Phantom for last. He's the Julius Caesar of this segment. But for me, Triple H is one of the guys that kept
I get
wrestling
that.
old school. When during there were times where, the whole game moniker was, just an old school throwback. He never veered away from the Killer Kowalski training, and he was a student of the game, self-proclaimed student of the game. Watched a lot of old school wrestling, and you can see in his style the Harley Race knee drop, things like that. There were certain things when he got in the office that he was able to do that Vince never did. He brought Bruno back in the fold. Bruno should have, whether you liked him or you didn't like him, he should have been in that first class of Hall of Famers. And after all those years, he brought him back in the fold. He brought, whether you like him or not, he brought the Ultimate Warrior back in the fold. He brought a lot of guys back that really had been disconnected through Vince, and he was the gate for getting them back into where they deservingly should be in the WWE legend status or whatever. So credit to him for leaving the ring and keeping old school and people still on their minds of these guys that had been kind of lost in the shuffle. So for me, I don't know why it took this long, but I kind of agree with Tom. Maybe it was one of those things that they didn't want to throw it because he was married to Stephanie or whatever. I'm sure maybe he said, I don't want to go in yet, or who knows. But for a lot of these things, my pet peeve with the Hall of Fame, and I'll say it every year when we talk about this stuff, is why do they wait till after these guys pass away to put them in? Whether they get up there like Thunderbolt Patterson and have a ramble of 20 minutes, I'd rather see that than the son of or the granddaughter of, or it's just not the same when they wait till somebody passes away, like the Ivan Koloff thing, another guy that should be in. He was around all these years, and they couldn't put that poor guy in the Hall of Fame and let him have his moment in the sun. So, back to the Triple H thing for me, it's probably overdue, but I agree he should go in. And he's headlining this year, which I was kind of surprised with that, but that's another thing. So, I'm waiting. Phantom, you're gonna close this out with your choice.
I think not only is he a Hall of Famer, I think he's like a first ballot Hall of Famer. If you look through his career, just his versatility, just in his characters alone. When he first started as the blue blood kind of guy, then he had the kindergarten gimmick with the DX and the joking around. He's wicked funny. Then as he had that time with Evolution, he kind of had more of like a Ric Flair kind of a character when he had the belt. And then even when he was doing the Cerebral Assassin stuff, even after that with the leather jacket, as the times were coming, he always changed with the times. The stuff that he's doing now behind the scenes has been phenomenal. He was the leader of not one but two all-time groups. It's he's without question up. I mean, I don't know where you, if you actually did your rankings of like your top 50 guys of all time, where he would fall in, but he's probably pushing top 20 guys. That's a strong resume.
Well, but not to cut you off, but the builder side of it is what I'm more impressed with because of the deal with TNA, whether you like it or not. I think it's just things he's trying to do, things that it's almost like somebody saying to himself, if that was ever me, this is what I would do. And it seems like that's what he's doing. And if you could kind of sprinkle, never forget where wrestling came from into everything going forward, I think that's kind of what he's trying to do. He's trying to never let you forget where they are, how they got there, and the people that have, you know, come before these guys that are popular now. And maybe Punk would be there, not be there if Vince was still there. I think one of the parts why he never went back was because how Vince was. So, I mean, when he showed up last year, Vince was
I don't think Punk was really a big fan of his either.
Right, right. So you got to, when it's best for business, I guess, you know, it works, right?
Well, I think he's, you know, he's probably evolved as a person. I mean, he's not like he's old, but he's getting up in age, and I'm sure when you're an active wrestler and you're only worried about yourself, you're going to take care of you. That's all you got when you're in that business. But to run the show, you have to look at it through a different lens of glasses.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. So
yeah, you need a different lens of glasses.
I think we need to get
Hey, Andy, for an old school guy though, he's letting the kayfabe die. You figure he'd be a little bit more protective of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, the jury's not out on that, so that's always open to topic of discussion. Speaking of that, I wanted to mention before we move on from the wrestling stuff, we were yesterday, February 1st, the 28th anniversary of an event that we were at. Crossing the line again, ECW. The very first time that we went to the ECW arena 28 years ago yesterday. And what a story that is. That is a story in itself. I don't think Brad's ever heard that story about the cops bum rushing the stands, fist fight right in front of us. As wrestling fans, to never be in a situation like that, and then you go to the corner of Swanson and Rittner Street, and you're, not only do you see Rick Rude under a mask and his Z Cavaricius, but you also get to see something that you can't believe that's actually happening right in front of your face. Thomas, do you want to tell that story?
That's all you.
Now you can go back and watch the main event from this. I believe it was the Triple Threat versus Tommy Dreamer and the Pitbulls. So we're on the hide camera. You can see us all night, just by sheer luck.
Looking young and fresh.
Where we were sitting, we're all in a row, right on the camera the whole night, that whole show. And
hey, we weren't all on the camera the whole time.
No, that's true. This is also true. I think my father got the most FaceTime out of anybody. So long story short, there's a kid with his girlfriend and her parents. And then there were two other kids that had Triple Threat shirts on, and they were standing like silent the whole night. The whole crowd's rowdy, except for these two guys, like two bumps on the lock, stand like Taz in the corner. And all of a sudden, here's the Triple Threat in the ring. They're announcing the participants in the main event. All of a sudden, the kid with his girlfriend just yells out, like at one of those moments where it just happened to yell and it's quiet. He yells, "Franchise, you suck." That's all he said. These two guys that were sitting like bumps on a log the whole night with their stop going after the kid with the girlfriend and the girlfriend's parents. Like they're like maybe 19 and 18 with parents that were probably like in their 40s. And then there's a big fight right in front of us. Here come the Philadelphia cops, like bull rushing through the crowd. And what's the famous quote? Say it, Ryan.
Get my dad. Get my dad.
Grab my father. You see the whole
no,
crowd.
No. Peel him off the floor.
Yeah, so we're about three risers up, and I forget who
it was, like bleach, like it was like high school bleachers.
All of a sudden, here from one side of the hard camera, the whole crowd getting pushed one way towards us, and then all of a sudden, here come the cops, and then my father's getting pulled like one way into it. We're like pulling him the other way. So if you ever get a chance to go back and watch that main event, you'll see it. It's I don't know if they've ever posted that on YouTube, but I'm sure somebody has it by now.
Oh,
but I just couldn't believe that it was 28 years ago that if you've never been to Philadelphia, you wouldn't understand it. There's so many Philly stories. Every time we go, there's a different one.
We're in the hotel and we're getting dressed and we're getting ready to go to the wrestling. And I had that Moose Johnston Cowboys jersey in Philly.
Nice.
And I wanted to wear it to wrestling. And Tom's like, Franco.
No.
You're not wearing that walking around over there because you're asking for problems. And then when we ended up seeing how that crowd was, it wouldn't have ended good for me.
So the great, great, I love when the stories come up and it, you know, for whatever reason. So we'll segue away from that. Tom, we got to, oh, go ahead. One more thing.
One more wrestling thing. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but I think you can put the Brock Lesnar coming back thing to rest for a while because it just came out, the Janelle Grant thing. They just amended the thing and they named him and they named Michael Hayes as they had been previously. It was like the, like, I don't know how they worded it, but like sort of like this had an X, they didn't have a name. Well, they named Brock Lesnar as being the woman was offered to him for sex. And I guess with Michael Hayes, allegedly. And then Michael Hayes allegedly received video that Vince made her do and sent it to him. So it could be getting interesting.
Yeah, that's a subject that's always a great story to bring up when we keep tabs on that. It's kind of been kind of quiet for a little bit, but I read that article today about the Michael Hayes thing, and that doesn't surprise me at all. Not at all. Tom, you want to do some shitty picks and do some sports talk before
sure, we... Sure. All right. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. So my pick, Super Bowl week, I got to go with Super Bowl. I'm going with Philly. I know everybody's picking KC, but I'm going with Andy's method from a couple weeks ago when he said everybody's saying that it's rigged, so they're going to go the opposite way, and Philly's going to – I just think it's Philly's year, and I'm actually going to go as far as say Saquon Barkley should be the MVP of the game. So that's my prediction, AC.
Were there some small tidbits of sports stuff that you want to bring up, Tom, in between you know, this dead week in sports and segue before we get to the tinfoil hat?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw the hit last night in hockey, but Ryan Hartman kind of went dirty and did Tim Stutzel a little bit dirty off of a face-off. And he's got a meeting with an in-person meeting with the NHL. So looks like he's going to get probably multiple games. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. I just want you to know what you guys thought.
Yeah, it was, I saw it. It was pretty dirty. It was, we just got away from the wrestling talk and we're going to bring it right back in with Ryan Hartman, DDT and Stutzel off the draw. Just drove his head straight into the ice. So yeah, he's gonna get some games for that. Former Blackhawk first round pick, one that got away.
At least the Blackhawks have first round picks.
This is true.
Oh, shots fired, Thomas.
Two. You're gonna be shitty for a long time to get that many, though. That's a problem.
I mean, I'm just trying to create some good banter. That's all. Not going in for a kill shot. All I'm doing is
Also,
just
don't
trying.
forget season four of Shoresy's out, just for you people that are in the know. Gotta get on that. So, Tom, that's a quick wrap up of sports this segment. We should jump into some tinfoil hat then.
Here we go. All right.
Brad,
Okay.
ready?
Brad's tinfoil hat. Conspiracy of the Week is brought to you this week by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
Get ready, put on your aluminum foil, hit the Rod Serling, and we're gonna take you into one of my favorite segments, the tinfoil hat, Bradford.
We're probably past due on this one because this one happened a while ago. But you remember a few weeks ago, Andy, you were like, Brad, will you ever run out of tinfoil hat? And I was like, God, no. There's something every week. I'm not even going to talk about the missile that struck Philadelphia. That wasn't a plane. Give me a break. So, what we're going to talk about, Luigi Mangione. I know you guys are just on the edge of your seats. So, let's talk about this picture. You guys see that? This is Luigi being paraded through the courtroom. This is Lee Harvey Oswald being
That's pretty
paraded to the
good.
courtroom. The same color sweater, the collar coming out on both guys. You got a dark suit on one side, a tan suit on the other. Like, the world is a stage, fellas. Like, the conspiracies write themselves, man. Like, they did this on purpose. There's no doubt about it, man. There's no doubt about it. And then, so the deeper you go into the Luigi Mangione thing, man, so allegedly he traveled 6 miles in 3.5 minutes on an e-bike. Unless he's an Olympic athlete, you're not gonna go 6 miles in 3.5 minutes. They allegedly caught him on one camera and another and on an e-bike. It doesn't add up, okay? The math's not mathing, to quote my buddy Ed. He used a ghost pew pew. If you guys don't know what that is, basically you can buy parts of one and 3D print the other parts you don't have and put it together. It takes a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of know-how. A smart person can probably figure it out. Highly unlikely that a college kid did it. Let's just be honest. I know I'm grasping at straws there, but I seriously doubt this kid put that all together. His arrest photo was strikingly similar to that of Lee Harvey Oswald. I just showed y'all that. He's pretty much considered a hero by look, murder's murder. I'm not condoning it. Like, somebody got killed, a life was lost. Whether it was Luigi or not, he's not a hero. He needs to be punished and pay for his crime. I'm a firm believer on that. No matter what, you do the crime, you do the time. But
That's what Beretta said.
he's heralded as such a hero that the jury selection might get nullified. He might get off altogether because they're not going to be able to pick a jury that isn't influenced in either. And that they have TikTok and they're on board with that he's a hero or he's a modern day Robin Hood, or that they're not a victim of healthcare insurance denying one of their claims. So there's such a large population of people on both sides of that that they may not be able to find a jury to accurately fulfill that role for his trial. So it just might get thrown out altogether. He had a manifesto. Why do these guys always have manifestos, man? They found a manifesto in his backpack, right? Like, they found it. Come on, man. They just like slide that in there. Oh, he's a manifesto. He's guilty. He's the guy. He screamed, "It's completely out of touch and an insult to the intelligence of the people," as they carried him into the courtroom. I think he's the fall guy. If he's anything, he's the fall guy. Some channels are calling him the Neo from the Matrix, right? That he's gonna like, that's just weird. And then it was said they found his jacket in the park, like after the shooting occurred, but then they arrested him in the jacket. The jacket was originally black in the surveillance cameras, and when they brought him in, it was green. It's like stuff doesn't add up. Like little details don't check out. And then the news originally reported that it was done. It was a like a professional hit. They're like, this was done by an expert, somebody with training, professional hit. Come to find out, I was a college kid. So weird. Super weird. Anyway, that's my tinfoil hat. Nothing checks out with this case. Just like everything that's fed to us, super weird. Lots of inconsistencies. I don't know what to make of it.
Thomas, you want to do your rebuttal to that?
I got nothing. I totally agree. I've always thought that he was a fall guy in this one.
Ed?
Well, I just think it's very interesting on how, there's all this different evidence that's planted around the city. And that's pretty amazing that he can ride an e-bike 6 miles in 3.5 minutes. That's pretty impressive.
Maybe it was really charged.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, and not to mention getting around New York City in that same time too, you know? Oh, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of this is just that, I think that, where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, like Senator Kennedy said, conspiracy theorists are 37-0 at this point.
Imagine that. He must
Yep.
watch the podcast. We've probably done about 37 of them now.
Yep.
So, I think it's just one of those things where, and to, I think that part of the thing about it is that, like, with a tainted jury, I mean, it should probably kind of show you that people are, really kind of getting sick and tired of how, kind of like people are getting railroaded all the time. That's just my take.
I think it has a lot to do with there's so much information that you're bombarded with depending on what platforms you're on. And you kind of, even if you have a sprinkle of intelligence in you, you want to look at it and say, hey, that I might not agree with all of it, but there's got to be some kind of something in there that kind of makes you think or makes you kind of find another video to go down that rabbit hole if it's something that interests you or something that hits home because of different situations. Do you have, is it military based? And then you have somebody that's, been in the service, or is it something that you had an aha moment at one time and you went back to it because this ignites that flame again? So I think we're at a point where, the world is so bombarded with information, it's just a matter of putting that filter on and kind of just doing deep dives with the things that interest you and kind of searching for knowledge if you're one of those people. You're never too old to kind of fill that hard drive with new things. So great, always a great segment. Phantom, you want to add anything on Tinfoil Hat this week or?
Yeah, no, I'm on point with you guys with this one. I had seen a video too saying something about they were talking about like his unibrow, like showing through the thing, and then they're showing the video, and it's like you can tell it's not even the same guy, like right through the mask, kind of a thing. Never mind the stuff that Brad brought up about the manifesto. Can't even get our kids to do homework, and these guys are just writing books.
Right. It's amazing when you just start dissecting it at different, just different levels of whatever your interests are. Even if you just stick to what your interests are, the levels of things are just crazy. So, let's wrap up this week's episode. Thomas, what do you got?
Want to give a shout out to our man Dennis. Everyone we've had on the podcast to start the football season all gave their Super Bowl predictions, and Dennis is the only one to get both teams correct. So good job, Dennis.
What do you got this week there, Ed?
Well, let's see. Well, it's always good to see you boys. Number two, 5 years ago today, I rode a marathon on a rowing machine for charity.
Damn.
Just check out Ainsley's Angels. It's all about inclusion and all that other good stuff about putting people ahead of yourself, kind of that can't do what you can do. So that was a great experience. Not to mention, I did it after going to a Tool concert the night before and only on 2.5 hours worth of sleep. So, and that's what I got.
Phantom, what
Man.
do you got this week?
Who am I gonna shout out? I'll shout out the oldest boy Dylan for making us all feel old. We were tearing up the text during the Royal Rumble and all the stuff that us old bastards were bitching about. He sent me text at the exact same time that you guys had texted me, and everything was the opposite. So it was cracking me up, but we were like, what's up with this speed guy? This is stupid. And he sent me a text like, oh, speed's on. This is awesome. Logan Paul. I'm like, what the hell? So I don't know. Maybe we're getting old and Triple H actually has a hot beat on what people really like.
Bradford, what do you got?
Told you guys, man. I told you. I just want to shout out the missus. It was her birthday. I seriously doubt she's even gonna watch this, but I just want to tell her happy birthday.
So, this is episode 103. Next week is episode 104. Obviously, it will be the last episode of our second year doing this podcast, and off to hopefully big things in year three. Always hope for the best. Keep the boys around for another season and keep having some special guests here and there. Branching off, doing some other stuff, hopefully, and we can keep this party rolling. So, from our house to your house to your mother's house. Later, everybody.